Today is kind of Thanksgiving Sunday, and as you can see, it's a little different. We're going to have six people up front here sharing, actually five people, sharing with you about things that have happened in their life this last year and actually before that, but how God has been instrumental in working in their lives. And so we're going to just kind of have a little interview time. I think you're going to enjoy listening to these stories, because part of them is that you have been praying for them. And so here is your answer to your prayers. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, it tells us that we are to be thankful at all times. So I want to read this passage for you. It begins in the fifth chapter and the 15th verse. It says, "See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good, and stay away from every kind of evil." All right, in the center of that passage, it says we're to be thankful in all circumstances. And so this morning, we're going to be thankful by sharing these stories with you. And so if those of you are sharing, come on up front here, and as they come up, I'll just introduce them as they come up to the front. So we're going to be hearing from Kent Ragsdale and Brianna Grover and Debbie Bettinka and Denny and Mary Simmons. And so come on up and find a seat, and we're going to start talking about what's been happening in your lives. I just want to say to each one of these people who are here, who are coming up, thank you for being here, for participating in this. It's not easy to sit under these lights, okay? So here's the way you do it when you're in front, okay? You don't look there, you look here, okay? And if you want to turn the lights up a little brighter, no, I'm just kidding. It helps. You don't see quite as many eyes looking at you. Anyway, thanks for being here. And this is the time of Thanksgiving, and just want you to, first of all, just share a little bit about your experiences. So let me scoot back behind you guys here. So I'm just going to hand one here and one down here, and you guys can come pass them around as need be here. So there is no order in our conversation, but why don't you share your experiences over the last year or beyond? Because some of your experiences go way beyond 1 year in your lives. And so share what's happened to you in your lives, not necessarily what God has done, but just share the situation with us so we kind of get filled in on where you're at and what has happened.
I guess I can go first.
Okay, I need to have you put those mics right up by your chin. Yeah, like that.
Okay.
He'll take care of the volume. Just get it up there so he's got something to work with.
Okay. Well, my experience was I got diagnosed with cancer, and I actually got diagnosed with two different cancers. When I was 50, 51. I don't remember.
How many years ago, roughly?
Five.
5 years ago. Okay, yeah. So we're looking at five, okay.
Yep. So it's been a little bit. I was diagnosed, had to work through it. It was pretty fast. I mean, we did the diagnosis, and I think 2 weeks later I was in surgery. So, and then going through the recovery, it was fall, it was harvest time. So getting through that, and I mean, it was the way it happened that really made a difference. But just going through it, that was my first major surgery, so a little nervous about that, and it all ended up turning out quite well.
So. Okay, all right. Who else? Danny, you've got some cancer in your life, too.
Yes. Just like Kent, May of 2020, I was diagnosed with kidney cancer, and kidney cancer doesn't like to stay in your kidney, it likes to move. So besides he said a football-sized tumor on my kidney. It went to my lungs and to my right femur. And it ate through the bone in my femur, and therefore I got to have a rod in my femur, which was just part of the couple surgeries I had. But yeah, it's a very, it's a place that you just never want to be, and always think that I said to Mary on the way down to Iowa City, it sounds like we're talking about somebody else's life here. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's you, and you're the center of it. And so that's just one. That's what's been happening. But there's a rift of other stories about what happened through all this that maybe we'll talk about in a little bit.
We'll come back to those.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll come back to those. Brianna, what about you?
Yeah. So I'll be talking about, I'm kind of in it, I think. It's not so much of like an illness or anything, but, you know, my healing from falling and just how the Lord's been moving in my life with literally making the gospel come alive and how to live that in real life. And what he was just saying about, you know, for Thessalonians of like, be joyful in everything and like actually being joyful in everything. And so I'll be talking about kind of in the last 2 years about how the Lord's kind of been working in my life and what he's been teaching me.
So talk to us about, because there are some people here who don't know your story about the fall. Okay, so that's, I want you to talk about a little bit about what happened. Where were you at and what happened at that point? And we'll come back to the God story here in a little bit. But tell us your situation prior to the fall.
Yeah, so for those of you who didn't know, I took a 9-month mission trip called the World Race Gap Year, and actually it started last year in August, and I actually launched overseas in January, so it's been about a year. And so I was in Ecuador, and Ecuador was a really hard time for ministry. We were doing physical labor all the time. We were in a tomato greenhouse 8 hours a day, hauling. We all had parasites. We had nothing to eat. It was pretty miserable, and we saw other squads that were within our gap year. We were watching them go like in the ocean and going to meet people and see all these healings, and we were just stuck on a mountain, and we're like, this is horrible. Like, why would God place me here? And so during that time, I was getting run down physically with, you know, doing all this stuff, this manual labor, digging holes for 8 hours a day with a hoe. I mean, that's exhausting. And then being sick, and then also spiritually, it's like, we want to go out and see people be healed. We want to go out and, you know, teach everybody about the gospel and just change lives. And then mentally, I was just like exhausted and drained. I was like, why is this happening to me? So then right before we were going to move to Guatemala, our second country, I was on a roof. I was like, I want roof duty today because we're taking down a house. And so I was like on the roof, and the roof is made out of terracotta. And if you know that, it's not very stable, not very strong. And this was like 20 years old, and so it was very flimsy. And I was like 12 to 13 feet high just working on this roof. And I was about to get off because it was getting really flimsy. And I was like, this isn't safe. So I got up and I put my foot through, or was walking and my foot fell through. Went through the roof, and I was like, oh no, this isn't good. And I looked up at my leader, and she's like, don't. And then I just fell. And I fell on my back, and I hit my head, and it was a concrete floor. And so I was in not good shape. My friends saw it. They were screaming. They thought I had like brain bleeds, or I was paralyzed, or really bad things. And so leaders came, and they were checking me out. They're like, this isn't good. We need to call an ambulance. And I couldn't move. They were like, this is broken. And it was really bad. I was scared. But they were praying over me, and I felt then a lot of peace. This is just a really fast story. I felt a lot of peace, and I was like, okay, God, like, you're going to do something cool through this. And I just felt like he was holding me. And that was the first time I'd ever felt God in that way. And so then I went to the hospital, and the doctors did all the tests on me, MRI, scans, x-rays, everything. And they were like, all you have is some torn ligaments and some sprains and a bad concussion and things like that. And they're like, you're a miracle that you're even alive right now. And I was like, wow. And I was like crying. And it was really cool. But then 3 to 4 days later, we moved to Guatemala, and the day I arrived there, I was in a neck brace, couldn't walk, I was in a leg brace, and I was in a sling, and a guy prayed over me, his name's Gabe, and he has the gift of healing, and so he's like, I'm gonna pray for you. And so I tested my motion with all of the things, you know, my neck and my arm and my leg. And then he prayed over me a few times. And let's just say in the 5 minutes after that was finished, I was running around. It's 5 days after I fell through the roof and I was supposed to be wearing all these casts. And these injuries were supposed to be long lasting. And so 5 days later, I was walking around in Antigua, Guatemala, and I was getting to preach the good news and tell everyone about my story. So I'm going to be talking today about how God kind of worked through that situation.
Debbie, tell us your story.
Well, my story starts 35 years ago. At the age of 24, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And it was hard for us because we were in the midst of wanting to have children, and I had gone up there for a different surgery, but when they opened me up is when they found everything. So when the surgeon came in to tell me, I just cried and cried because the thought of not having a family was very, very hard. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? You know, we've been praying for 5 years and always had hope and always was positive. And I just felt like there was a steel ceiling and nothing I said was making me feel better or giving me peace or giving me understanding of what kind of was going on here. And it wasn't long. I got so many cards and so many letters of people sharing their stories and their gospel. And I got so much peace from that. And, you know, I was ready to say, okay, Lord, you know, whatever, whatever, because I really wasn't expected to live. And I did, obviously, but my doctors were saying, how can you come up here every month and you're happy and you're dressed nice, you got your hair done? I said, because I am happy. You know, I'm not happy about the situation, but I have complete faith in my God that I am going to outlive this and he's gonna show me great things. And of course we went on, we were blessed with two children, which I feel I was meant to be their mother. They feel the same way from our talks. And you know, Harris was meant to be their dad. And I just feel that God had that plan. Well, obviously God had that plan from the beginning of when I was the beginning of the world. And that alone, that thought alone, that God planned my life, why would he do that? Because I'm like a speck. But he chose me. I didn't choose, we think we choose him, but he chose me. And when we sing here in church, those songs, I just cry because why would he do that? He is so gracious and he is so caring, and sometimes we just don't give him a chance to actually work things out, because I was one who had to help him. And it took me a long time to realize he don't need my help. And it did. It took me years and years to figure that out. I would wait 11 hours for an answer, and the 12th hour I would step in and try to do it myself and mess the whole thing up. I know. I look back and I messed the whole thing up. Then when a few years ago when I had my foot all, I was laid up with my foot, I was able to say, okay, Lord, whatever you want, because the doctor kept telling me I would probably lose my foot. And I just thought, okay, if that's what you want, I am all game, you know. And now we're at my kidney crisis or disease, whatever you want to call it. It's end-stage renal disease. And I have complete peace, complete peace. The Lord's going to heal me. Either he's going to take me home, or he's going to actually heal me, or I'm going to get a kidney. So however it goes, he's going to heal me. And there's no sweeter feeling knowing that we are 100% in God's care and that we can get up in the morning and just live our life and not worry about all these little details. It would have, a couple years ago, it would have driven me insane to go to the doctor as much as I'm going. But I just thought, okay, whatever we need to do. And I don't know if you've heard about The Chosen. It's a story, okay? The Chosen is a free movie that is put on by Dallas Jenkins, and his father co-wrote the Left Behind series. It's an app. You can go to the Play Store and download the app, and you can watch the first two seasons. They only film it as they have the money. So right now they are raising money for season three. Never in my life have I seen Jesus portrayed so loving and so compassionate. And there's other stories, you know, they tell the story of the disciples. They start in Matthew, how he called his disciples, how the disciples were not a perfect group. They argued. They did not get along perfectly, just like 12 of us would not get along perfectly. And it makes it real. It just makes it so real, the gospel. And the actor that portrays Jesus, when he looks into the eyes of Mary from the well, or Mary Magdalene, I'm sorry, he just cups her face, and the compassion in his face just made me realize I have never seen Jesus like that. The stories that they tell, I get so much more knowledge from, because it explains kind of what happened maybe before or after these healings. And I don't know, I just encourage you to watch it. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
Mary, you're a spouse of someone who's been struggling and gone through some things. How has this affected you?
Well, at first when Denny was diagnosed, I was terrified, I'll admit that. I remember that first night after we learned that he had cancer and it was the size that it was and it had spread. I laid in bed and I just wept that night because, you know, the fear overtook me and I couldn't imagine my life without him and all the things that I would have to do. And, you know, it was just terrifying. And finally, I just had to stop and pray and say, God, you are in control. You are my Lord, and I trust you with all of this. And this peace came over me, and I was able to fall asleep. And then through this whole journey, like Denny said, God has just been so present. And the people that he placed in our life, and the way the surgeries and the treatments and everything have gone, that there's no doubt in my mind that he isn't walking us through it. And one thing, you know, I think we have a strong faith. We pray together. We read the Bible together. And I just think of the people who don't have that faith. And that's one thing that God's opened my eyes to, is to see people and what they're going through. You know, fellow brother and sisters in Christ that are going through things, and how we can support them. And also, so many people who don't know Christ and don't have that hope that we do, and how we can walk beside them. And again, like Denny said, there's stories where God's placed people in our life like that.
Well, we're going to hear those stories now. But what I want to just kind of affirm here is that when you first feel the diagnosis, or you first run into something's happened and I am out of control, I mean, it's been ripped away from me. The control has been ripped away. At that very point, there is fear, human fear in our lives, isn't there? And it's a struggle. So sometimes we diminish the struggle because of what God is going to do. Because now we're sitting in the back and we're looking back and we're saying, oh, look what God did, okay? But I want everyone to understand that we are human beings, and when you sit in those situations, it is not a great place to be, and it's a very fearful place. Is that not correct? Okay? So understand that everybody sitting on this stage, including myself, we're just humans, okay? But then God steps into our lives, into these circumstances that have been allowed into our lives. And so let's talk about what God did in your lives through those circumstances. What happened? How did God show up? And what did it do for you when he did?
Mine started, I guess, and I didn't see it. You know, I couldn't see what was really going on, but 49, I went in, annual checkup. My doctor said, you know, when you're 50, we need to go through colonoscopy and stuff. So when I got to my 50th, he's very detailed, and I didn't remember it. He didn't say anything. So we get to my 51st, and he goes, hey, we forgot this. So we got it scheduled. I went in, and before I got there, I had a feeling that he's going to find something. Mm-hmm. That was tough. But then I got a feeling, and it was more of a calm, that it was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So we went in, and he found colon cancer, or not a cancer, colon mass. He took samples. He told me, I took samples, I'm going to send them in, I think it's cancer. We're going to treat it like cancer until they tell us it's not. So he decided we needed a CT scan at the same time. So we went in and got that. You know, you don't get the results right away. I was on the road for work after that, and a different day. And the doctor called me himself, and he said, well, we found a mass on your kidney. And that did worry me. Yeah. I got another feeling, it's going to be okay. That was a little hard, but okay. We got surgery scheduled, I think it was about a week and a half later. They went in, took the colon piece, and the tests were actually negative, not cancer, but they took it anyway. We didn't biopsy the kidney. He was sure it was cancer, so we took the kidney. The doctors came back next day. They had tested the colon. The only polyps that he took off were the only non-cancerous polyps. Everything else was cancer. The kidney was cancerous. There were two different forms of cancer that had started at about the same time, had grown at about the same rate. They were still encapsulated, so they hadn't spread. And they were sure that if we would have did at 50, they wouldn't have found it. Mm-hmm. All of the doctors agreed I got it somewhere after 50. So it had grown that fast until I was 51. So we would have tested, I would have been negative. We would have went to, you know, 8 years or something.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
They said I probably wouldn't have lived that long.
Yeah.
You know, it was tough. I mean, but God was with me the whole time, and I recovered better and faster than they told me I would. They haven't found any cancer since. Everything has, you know, been better overall. I mean, they were really surprised, all of my doctors. Three of my doctors, I think, believed. They all told me it was a miracle. One of my doctors said, there isn't any such thing, and he tried figuring the odds. And he kept doing that, and they kept telling him it's a miracle. And then he asked me, do you believe? And I said, yeah. I said, it's the only way this happened. And he was struggling with it.
Wow.
So, I mean, it wasn't easy to go through, but realistically, it wasn't that bad. I felt like he had control of it. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was just along for the ride.
Yeah. Yeah. Who else wants to share about what God has done?
The cancer treatment that they gave me, I was in a study because I was so young. And so I did 6 months of a new cancer treatment and 6 months of an old one. And so the new one was, the computer decided what I started with. And so the new one, I would be able to take my chemo and I wouldn't get sick until like midnight. But from midnight to morning, I slept in the bathroom because I was sick so much. Well, then I took the old one, and I didn't even leave Rochester yet, and I was sick all the way home. All the way home, and for a week, I didn't feel good. And I was like, where is this, you know, where is this going, Lord? You know, am I doing any good by doing this test? I feel the same as Kent. You're devastated when they give you the news. And it takes you a while to process the worst and the best outcome that could be. And I think after you've been able to figure it out in your own head is when you are able to say, okay, Lord, what's going to happen next? What do you have? What do you want me to do? And most of all, it's like, do nothing. Stay out of God's way and just share the joy that he gives to your heart about things that come up in the past, in the future. You know, the blessings that he gives you in the future. So...
The Bible talks a lot about hope, and without going into details, I never really knew what hope was, and I'm sure most of you probably either do or don't, but probably won't until you lose hope, and then you realize what hopelessness is, and you don't realize what it is until you get it back. But, you know, there was periods of time where I lost hope, and I don't know if it's belief or whatever, but Jesus brings hope, and hope is what drives you to live and breathe, and until you lose it, you don't know what it is. And hope is, like I said, Jesus gives us hope, and the Bible talks a lot about that. And now I understand why.
What about you, Mary? How did God work through this in your life?
Well, I feel like this is Denny's story, but if any of you know him, he probably will never mention it to you because he's very private about his story. But from the very beginning, the very first time I went with him back to the doctor after they said he had cancer, the doctor, we were in Mason City, and he said, I think I can do this surgery and remove this kidney and this cancer. And then they did some further testing, and he came back the next couple days and said, I feel like this is probably beyond what I can do, but let me tell you something. I know somebody in Iowa City that I studied under, and he's a great surgeon, and if you want me to, I can call him, or I can call Mayo, and you can go to Rochester. The choice is yours. And so Denny and I had prayed about it before we went, you know, what do we do, Lord? We just trust you to put the right people in the right treatment and everything, and he did. So this doctor stepped out of his office and we said, well, we'd like to go to Iowa City then if you don't feel like you can do it. He said, well, I have his cell phone number. Let me just step out and call him. And the next week we were in Iowa City seeing the surgeon. And he's given us all the details and going through all that stuff. And you know how your mind, you aren't listening to half of that. Your mind's going somewhere else. And he gets done, and he rocks back in his chair, and he starts quoting scripture and says, you know, God doesn't promise us that we'll live long life. And he just says this stuff and sits back and looks at us. And Denny and I look at each other and we say, okay, God, we totally trust you. We know that you have this. And this is just one of the stories or one of the ways that God showed us that he was walking us through this and we didn't have to worry about it. And I just want to say too, and maybe we'll get to this later, but we had so many people that were praying for us, and we would get text messages, we'd get phone calls, we'd get notes, we'd have people that would come and lay hands on us and pray with us. And you can't believe how powerful our prayers are. God listens to each one of those. And if you don't know how to pray for somebody, just say, Holy Spirit, just take over, and you know what this person needs, and he does that. Mm-hmm. You just can't believe how strong that is.
Yes. Brianna.
Yeah, so through what happened to me, the Lord did a lot in my life, but then also in the lives of others. So my testimony was flying around Guatemala. Everyone's telling their parents and telling their friends and telling everybody that they knew. And so the cool thing about testimonies is, like, the woman at the well, when she had her testimony, she told everybody in her town, right? She, like, ran, and she's like, this is so cool. Like, look what happened to me. And then everybody was interested and intrigued and to know who Jesus was. And so the woman in the well obviously is not me. I mean, it's all of us in a way. But the same thing kind of happened, where it was just a ripple effect of what the Lord was doing. And so it did a lot in other people's lives. But in mine, my faith was, like, on fire. And so, like, now you see me at a discipleship school still trying to fundraise, which people are like, ah, you're still fundraising. I'm like, I know, I'm still fundraising. I have faith in my God. And also going to Guatemala and still trying to travel around the world, and people think I'm, like, crazy. And I'm like, no, but, like, I know who my God is. And, like, I know he healed me. And so my faith and my fire for who the Lord is just, like, lit up in flames. And so now the only thing I want to do is tell people about the Lord. And the same thing with, like, what she was saying with, you know, people having hope. And people don't have that hope. And so, like, now all I want to do starting young is go and share that hope and share my love for people. And, like, the gospel's becoming written on my heart, and it's become my life. And so even being here and like hearing what everyone has to say to me about it, or people look down on me about it because I'm trying to fundraise or trying to like, I'm not doing the normal college thing, or I don't have security, I don't have a job, but like, I know my God, and because I fell through that roof, people's lives have changed because they've heard like, wow, that's real, like that's her, that happened to. But then also in my life, it's like a whole new flame that's like, I don't care what people say, I know who I am and I know what the Lord calls me, and that's enough for me to go out. And so me falling through that roof changed my life and the direction of my life to what I live for, to who I'm looking toward, to what, to everything. So that's how it's kind of changed my life in that way.
That's powerful. That's right. So talk with me about, we know that when these things happened to you, that prayers immediately started going up, and you were praying at the time. And I just, sometimes I think we are not willing to speak about what we, about the doubts. And was there ever time in this process where you were praying and knew other people were praying, but you did not know, God was not, he was not speaking at that very moment. It was kind of that separation when I pray and then all of a sudden it takes some time for you to recognize that he actually has heard. Was there any of that in your lives? And there may or may not have been. I just was interested to know if you ever had a time when you thought that maybe God wasn't listening for some reason, or you felt like you were alone.
I'll start with this one. So some people hear the Lord in better than the others. Like, it's just how it is. But then also we're all very unique to the Lord, and so the Lord doesn't speak to us all in the same way. Some people hear audibly. Some people hear it by their minds and in their thoughts, but some people can read the Bible and the Lord will point out things like that. Sometimes the Lord speaks through people and you're like, wow, that was God. And so when the Lord is inside of us also, you know, what I'm speaking to you is through the Lord because the Holy Spirit's in me and the Spirit's part of the Godhead. So, you know, there's different ways to hear from the Lord. I've only heard the Lord audibly like two times in my life. One was to go on the race, and one was when I fell through the roof and that I was going to be okay, and that he was with me. But usually how I hear from the Lord is through my thoughts, and that can get confusing because we have our own voices, the enemy's voices, and our own thoughts. And so for me, it's a constant battle of, is this the Lord, is this not the Lord, and having to check, you know, like, does this line up with the Bible, does this what the Lord would say, and things like that. And so in my life, there have been many doubts. Because, like, what I'm doing is crazy, like, straight up. Because it's heaven work. It's kingdom work. It's not the here. It's not earth work. This is not what we do here. But I'm trying to bring the kingdom to earth. And so the thing is like, when I'm going, people are like, you're crazy. You're doing this. You're doing this. And, like, condemning me. It's not going to work. You don't have enough money. How are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? And, like, I say, I don't know. But, like, I know my God. But sometimes you have those doubts. Everyone has doubts. And that's the enemy speaking to me because he knows who I am. And once we're doing the Lord's work, the enemy comes more present because he's like, I'm going to try and tear that person down because they're the biggest threat to me. And so as we're going through, I just want to encourage all of you guys that, like, if you don't hear from the Lord entirely and you have to work on that, that's okay. Some people hear it differently than others because we're unique to the Lord and he made us all uniquely. But then also, if you're doing the work and if you're doing what the Lord's telling you to do, even if you're not, he's still speaking to you and he speaks to you all the time. And so it's okay to have doubt. That's not wrong because you're human. But then also, like, turn to the Lord and be like, what do you say about this? And so one thing I keep hearing is like, this is my work, not your work. And so it's not me doing it. It's him doing it through me, which makes it possible. So there are doubts. There are a lot of doubts. It's dangerous where I'm going. I want to go to the Middle East one day. That's a dream. That's very dangerous, and people think I'm crazy, but I can't let that get to me because that's not of the Lord, and the Lord's not of the world.
Yes. So.
Maybe I'm stuck on this, but your question to me just describes hopelessness when you're not hearing from the Lord. And so yeah, when that would be a place where you would be in despair. And,
so you had those times.
Apparently.
Okay, and also, but then, when did the hope return? What was the process that you went through, Denny?
I don't know if I can explain that.
We'll try.
No, I don't know how to, okay. I don't know if I can explain.
Did it come back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, you don't really ever know when you lose it.
Okay, all right.
And I don't, and then all of a sudden it's back. Okay. I don't know, I cannot explain that.
Okay, so then that's a divine thing.
That would have to be okay. It.
All right, so
that's how you could explain it.
You can explain it like that. God did something and returned to you what you had lost.
Yes, that's how you.
And yeah. Sometimes it wasn't related to your prayers. It was related to other people's prayers.
Potentially. Most likely, because at that time, you're probably not doing the best prayer life
right.
when you're in hopelessness and
right.
despair. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I think those are important things to remember and to communicate to people that says, you know, when you're in the middle of hopelessness, okay, the passage out of Romans comes to my mind where it says the Holy Spirit speaks with words that are greater than our capacity to give. In other words, we don't know what to say, but he starts to speak to God about us. And so there is a divine point in here where we've lost all control. And we are hopeless, and yet God hasn't given up, and he is still at work. And he returns hope to us because of his divine mercy upon us. So what about the rest of you about hopelessness or, you know?
I have had those moments where you can't pray. There's no words. And you just cry. And you beg the Holy Spirit to talk to the Lord for you because you don't know what to say. And I have had those moments. I've been in and out of the hospital for years for different things. And so I have had these why me moments at some point. But what I wanted to say is right now going through dialysis, first I want to thank everybody who's prayed for me. I'm terrible about putting out emails and all that kind of thing. But I just thank you for praying for me. I know you're praying for me. I feel it, and I praise God for it because every night when I hook up to my machine, the tubing inside of a person for home dialysis has a tail on it. And every time it starts to get fluid through that tubing, it moves. Well, the doctor told me since when I had my cancer, they took all of my intestines out and poured water over them and looked through a microscope to make sure there was no grains of cancer. So because my insides have been touched, which they're not, so right. they don't like that. So every time that tail moves, the first 10 minutes, I have severe pain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing they can do. I don't want to say unique, but maybe weird. They said, I'm not normal. And I said, I already know that. You're a little bit late to the game. But so in those moments, I still feel like the Lord has left me. I know he hasn't. And I really do feel it, Satan, every night poking at me. And two nights ago, I hooked my machine up incorrectly, and which I've never done, and I have 25 foot of tubing that connects me to my machine, and it's supposed to have fluid in it. So when it goes into me, there's no air. Well, it didn't fill with fluid, and there's nothing I could do except for shut it off for 2 hours and maybe start over, but it was already 10 o'clock at night. I said, okay, Lord, I just put it on, and now I'm paying the price because If you've ever had a surgery where they filled you with air, it rises to your shoulders. And so the last couple days have been very painful. And sometimes I think it's to keep us humble, because I don't want to be, you know, Miss Proud person, because that's not who I am either. But I want to make sure that I represent the Lord in a correct way. I don't want to be Debbie, what do they call that? Debbie Downer? I never heard of that before. And somebody called me that, and I said, they said, haven't you ever heard that before? And I said, no, and I don't appreciate it. But anyway, so I want to say one more thing, if I may. We're all born with two kidneys. And it's for things like that we, some people need to, but we all can live with one. So if anybody is interested in donating, not necessarily to me, but to just to be a donor, you can go on the website of Iowa City, and that's where I'm through, and find their transplant team. And it starts with just four or five questions. And by the time you're done with the questions, I think you'll know if you can or cannot be a donor. But give it a try. They need more than kidneys. But I would say that if the Lord lays that on your heart, to be any kind of a donor, to be sure to sign up on your driver's license or whatever it takes. And because there's a lot of part of us that that's we have learned we can share. So.
That's good. What else would you like to share with the congregation in just brief statements? Because we are out of time, actually. So what have you got to, what would you like to share with your church family? Anybody?
I guess, you know, when I could feel the fear or the doubt, I could also feel the prayers.
Yes.
And it was kind of when I wasn't thinking of God, I could feel that prayer, and then I could be back with God. So yes. I never felt that he left me.
Yeah, good.
So.
It's okay.
I think I'm shared.
He's talked out. We're back to you, Brianna.
I'd say just kind of what I've been reiterating of, like, live out the gospel. So the disciples took nothing with them when they were with Jesus. Jesus said, pick up and follow me, leave everything. That means leave everything. That doesn't mean get a little, like, extra clothes with your suitcase or stuff like that. The stories in the Bible are real. Miracles happen. I feel like a lot of the time where we're at in small town Hampton, like, I've obviously been out in the world. I live close to Atlanta. Like, I've been seeing things, have been more experienced, and, like, the gospel's real, and it does happen, and stories are real. And also, we have a very Western mindset, and the Bible was written in the East. And so the way that they write the Bible is through, like, metaphors and, like, poems and stuff like that. If you've read the Psalms, read things like that, there's always more to learn in the Bible than what we think. So even, like, the Samaritan woman, he was, like, touching an untouchable. She was an untouchable. She was the lowest of the low. He ate dinner with the sinners. And, like, we are supposed to be doing that. And, like, what can we do with what we have and where we are? And so live out the gospel, and, like, it's real. Have a relationship with the Lord because it's real. Like, and see how deep you can go, because you can always go deeper. So, yeah, I think that's what I would say. Live out the gospel.
Thank you. Thank you each for being part of this. And, you know, your stories are just the stories that God has given. And we all have stories. We all have a story to tell. Whether or not we can stand in front of a group of people and tell it, that's a different story. But we can always tell our story to somebody. And in that story is the thankfulness to God. He is the one who has made our story, who has brought us through our story, who is going to continue to work in our story always. And so that's what Thanksgiving is about. And so I encourage you today, as you think about your story or as you're talking to people, consider what you need to thank God for to somebody else, because it's important. It's important to do that. So let's just pray together, shall we? Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these stories, for these people that you have worked in their lives and they're willing to share that. Father, you receive the glory from this. It's not them. It's not us. It's you. And Father, thank you that you show us that when we're out of control, you're never out of control. You are always right there, and you want us to be out of control so that we can say, you know what, I'll give it to you. I can't handle this anymore. So Father, I'm praying this morning that you would just minister your grace to people in this congregation, wherever they're at. And Father, I also pray that you would receive our thanks and our gratitude for the very lives that we have and the things you've done in our lives. Would you be honored with what has happened to us and what will continue to happen to us as we seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.